All right, everybody, welcome back to another special edition of the Crypto 101 podcast. We're going to call this actually a crypto rundown. Sadly, Brendan couldn't come back for the second time this week, but we have our great friends over at the Momentum Moneymakers join us, Brian and Joe. For those who come back a lot, we've seen them obviously when things start to get crazy and the animal spirits are here and the meme markets and the NFT markets are taking off. These guys are we call them what, the crypto Navy SEALs. They're in the trenches. They live in the trenches. They love the trenches. They come to us to break down that side of the markets when things get crazy. So if you're new here, this might be your first exposure to them, and they're going to be coming back a lot. And if you're a returning listener, welcome them back. So we told you yesterday or Wednesday, depending on when you're listening to this, that if something crazy happened, we were going to do our best to come back and give you guys a second episode this week. This is what we're doing. So here's the rundown for the show. Bitcoin broke 100K. The stock market's taking off. The Fed meeting went as we called it this week. However, trade deals got announced and the market is loving it. So we're going to break down all that, and then we're going to deep dive into the Momentum Moneymaker side, where Brian and Joe have tons of updates around everything from Pudgy Penguins to Fartcoin. ETH is outperforming. There's so much going on in the markets between the momentum that's happened in the last 36 hours, plus the meme coin game has been coming off the bottoms for a couple of weeks now. And so I've wanted to have these guys on for a while. So Brian, Joe, welcome back to the Crypto 101 podcast. How are we feeling? How's the momentum? Let's toss it to you, Joe, first. How are you feeling?
Feeling great. I'm going to throw a little surprise. My birthday's tomorrow, so this market move is all because of me. You're welcome, everyone. You're welcome.
I love it. Birthday episode.
Yeah. Happy early birthday, Joe. Joe brought $100,000 Bitcoin in his bag. I appreciate it, man. He's sharing with the boys.
Yeah, you only have one person to thank, apparently, this week. It's Joe. I'm excited for, yes, happy birthday to you, Joe, and happy Bitcoin 100K, boys. We're back. I think everybody in this podcast and on our team has believed that. I believe we've been talking about that on the podcast with Brendan. We've been talking about it in the community, in the newsletters, in the coaching calls. So, you know, not a huge surprise that we're back here. I think kind of the next move is what we're going to be trying to shake out. So I'm going to pull up Brendan was kind enough to give me a screen share of the Bitcoin chart. The number one thing that I want to point out is in the middle there, when we dipped below the 200-day moving average, I remember for a couple weeks in a row, Brendan hammered. He's like, this is what I'm looking for. And he went back, you know, a year ago. He went back 2, 3, 4 years ago, and he highlighted 3 or 4 different times that Bitcoin just dipped below the 200-day moving average for maybe a week, 2 weeks, just a little dip below it. And that was the time to buy. Whereas, you know, there's a lot of debates versus, you know, in the technical analysis, there's the death cross, the bull cross and whatnot. And so some people get scared of that. But he highlighted that Bitcoin's done that several times, and it looks like he nailed that call. So Bitcoin 100K, you kind of see the candle rocketing. Again, we're going to go into kind of the momentum news around the markets in general that might have led to this. But I thought we could just kick it around the table, especially for Brian and Joe. Brian, we'll start with you. You know, what does it mean to you to be back at 100K? How have you been playing? Obviously, Liberation Day was very volatile. Bitcoin led the way down before that. However, coming out of it, you know, strong hands. What's your thought? Kind of give me the last 6 weeks of your Bitcoin philosophy and where we are today now that we broke 100K again.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always trying to buy the dips. And over the past few weeks, you know, we've seen some corrections, but we've noticed some really strong strength, as you noted, technical analysis wise and fundamentals. At the end of the day, we've gotten a lot of this tariff news, a lot of the conflict news with Ukraine and Russia, but we did seem to kind of harden from any of that new news. But Joe and I talked about it a ton within our community. Any sort of de-escalation, any sort of just slight positive news, and this isn't like the United States and China got this extremely favorable tariff news. That will come eventually, but just any sort of de-escalation. And Joe and I both were like, it is going to rocket shit up, not just Bitcoin, but a lot of altcoins. And, you know, we talk about meme coins a lot of meme coins. An interesting thing enough, Bitcoin hitting $100,000 right now, but it does look like ETH is outperforming, which in the past always made everyone a little nervous because when ETH outperformed and Bitcoin dominance went down, it got a little shaky. But really, I'm starting to really believe that we could be coming into a true alt season with this ETH outperformance.
Attention, cigar enthusiasts. Today, we're thrilled to introduce to you CigarBid, America's number one online cigar auction site. If you're looking for unbeatable deals on every type of cigar, listen up. At CigarBid, you have the power to set your own price, often scoring top quality cigars and accessories at prices much lower than retail. Others want you to believe they are always giving you their best deal, but at CigarBid, you get to decide the deal. It's the cigar site the rest of the industry does not want you to know about. Score deals at the best prices every single day. The live auctions are fast-paced and exciting, making every bid a thrilling experience. Check out Freefall to watch the prices drop in real time, or the Power Hour for our fastest-paced auctions. Cigar Bid has a text update, so you get notified when you're outbid and get exclusive deals right to you. And if bidding is not your thing, then no problem at all, because you can buy the cigars straight up at awesome low prices as well. So no matter what you're looking for, you'll find it at Cigar Bid. So if you're ready to enjoy the fun and the convenient way to purchase fine cigars at great prices online, visit cigarbid.com/crypto101. That's cigarbid.com/crypto101. Happy bidding. Have you ever wanted to trade Bitcoin but haven't dared tried? With Plus 500 Futures, you can trade crypto without the hassle of opening a wallet. With just a few clicks, you can register and start practicing with their free and unlimited demo. See a trading opportunity? You'll be able to trade in just two clicks. Feel ready? You can move to real money with as little as $100 once your account is approved. And the great thing is that in addition to crypto, Plus 500 gives you access to a wide range of instruments like the S&P 500, NASDAQ, gas, and much more. Explore equity indices like energy, metals, Forex, and beyond. With a simple and intuitive platform, you can trade anytime, anywhere. Experience the fast, accessible futures trading you've been waiting for with Plus 500. With over 20 years of experience, Plus 500 is your gateway to the markets. Visit us.plus500.com to learn more. Trading in futures involves risk of loss and is not suitable for everyone. Not all applicants will qualify, and this is not personal financial advice. Plus 500, it's trading with a plus.
It's nice. Yeah, personally for me, the last 6 weeks has been exciting. We've been, you know, just following Bitcoin's movement with the news and then against the news. Like, we saw kind of decouple. That was kind of like an interesting move that we haven't seen before. And we saw a lot of money flow into Bitcoin DeFi. I've been diving into a big rabbit hole on Bitcoin DeFi. I'm not sure if you know, TiVo, Bitcoin has the third most value locked is in the Bitcoin protocol, about $6 billion locked in Bitcoin. So yeah, super excited about the move up. I thought that the third quarter of 2025 to the fourth quarter of 2025 was when Bitcoin was going to peel upwards. I'm disappointed because I wanted to dollar cost average more, but we always knew it was going to get back here. You know, as a company, as colleague, we talk about it all the time. None of us are shaken, right? Because we're here, and I hope people listening, this is nothing new, right? The big boys were just accumulating every single day. Like, we saw it. We saw the other side of the news. As the macro talks about tariffs, we saw every single day BlackRock buying. We saw every single day MicroStrategy buying. We saw every single day, like, flows in. So, you know, it was just some. We just saw the writing on the wall. Like, we knew it was going to go up, and I'm excited for my position there.
Yeah, it's a great point, Joe. We really hammer that point home. I know I do, of like sticking with the show every week, even if the price action isn't what you want. And through the volatile, the downtimes, I say it all the time. The numbers go with the price. It's like, hey, people get, you know, depressed a little bit with the price. Numbers take a little bit of a hit. We have a good steady base, but you can really tell when things start spiking. Everybody starts downloading the pod. What's going on? What's going on? And I really feel like if you stick with us through kind of that volatility and you come week after week, you know, Brent and I have said it for literally the last 2 months. It's like there's been all this negativity around markets and that we're losing U.S. exceptionalism and all that banter in the Michigan survey data. We're all going to be poor. It's the next Great Depression. And it's like, parse through all that noise. There's been so much. I've never seen anything so negative one-sided, and then flip it to crypto and Bitcoin, and it's nonstop positive news flow underneath the hood. And so I really think that it's an awesome time to be in this industry. It's an awesome time to be on the team that we're all on together. And I'll tie a bow on it with this. So I remember when we were climbing in the 90s, and it was did you know me on the Twitter, right? Mr. Twitter Fingers over here, just firing memes, 95, 96, more memes, 97. It was just like tick, tick, tick. There's that one night where we just pushed to the 100. and it was meme after meme, and everybody was, oh my God, everybody had their 100K memes ready to go, and we fired them all off, and everybody was celebrating, and we did it. And while that was happening on X, also TradFi and the news and CNBC and Fox Business, it was A block. And for those who don't know, an A block for television is the lead. So when they sign on at the top of the hour, it's, hey, Bitcoin's at 100K. Oh my God, Bitcoin. It was A block after A block after A block, from everything from the morning CNBC show to the noon to the afternoon Fox Business show to the evening news on NBC and ABC, where all your grandparents were on. It was, Bitcoin was the A block for a solid 6 weeks. And so I've been tracking this as we've crept back up, and then I haven't seen it on any shows at all. Today, obviously, it broke. We made the D block, boys. We made the D block on the noon show today, which is literally the last block. It was the 12:45 to 12:50 5 minute segment. Hey, we're back. And I think that is an awesome psychological point, that when we first broke this number, it was huge. It was psychological. It really probably got most people's attention that left the space and totally tuned out Bitcoin as the big scam thing from FTX. And 100K got everybody's attention, in my opinion. Maybe I'm wrong. I'd like to hear your guys' opinion. But now there's a new level that needs to be reached before we get back into what, let's call it, like the A block Bitcoin news segment. So I don't think we hit A block until we start making all new all-time highs again. And then so that FOMO that kicked in at 95 to 105 isn't going to really kick in until 115, 120. Anybody want to take that and kick it around for a second before we move on?
Yeah, things have happened since that last block I was talking about, since FTX, to solidify us as, you know, mainstream state reserves. New Hampshire, first one out the gates, followed by Arizona, soon to be corporations with treasuries. So there's just so much news, and we can't even go over it all today. You know, like Stripe bringing on stable coins, Robinhood bringing things on chain. There's just mm-hmm. so much more that's happening now that's going to solidify not only Bitcoin, but blockchain in general.
Yeah. Brian, any take on the psychology of people who might be dipping their toe in, or maybe just looking at the pool on the sidelines?
Yeah, I a key number in my mind for some reason, I'm not sure what the sentiment is across all the channels, but it's like 110 grand. Like, let's get above 110 grand. I know that's like a massive number, but I really think FOMO is going to really kick in when we cross 110. I mean, 100,000, such a massive number for psychological reasons. It's a ton of money, but I really believe if we catch $110,000 Bitcoin, there's going to be massive moves, not just in Bitcoin, but in altcoins, in L1s, in meme coins. It's going to be a kickoff to a season that we're excited for. We're ready to go. And it does feel like global liquidity is starting to increase a little bit. So I think we can get there.
Yeah, that M2 money supply is creeping up. Such a hot take on that M2 money supply. Some people swear by it and will trade their children's college funds on it, and some people call it a joke. Truth probably lies somewhere in the middle, just like most things in life. But
on that take though, that M2 money supply chart, I kind of laughed about it for a couple weeks there when we were like chopping, but it is like, I don't think we have the chart, but it's following it to a T. And I'm to the point now where I'm just going to start following people that endorse that M2 money supply, because it looks so juicy. And I was making fun of it. I'll be the first one to admit. I was like, this isn't correlated, but it looks good.
You gotta believe in something. Why not Bitcoin and M2 money supply, right?
Spin up a meme coin.
That's going to wrap up our Bitcoin talk. We're going to have Brendan back next week. Really interesting weekend, kind of going into our next topics with the China trade talks are going to start. So there could be more momentum, or maybe a break to the momentum. We'll have to see. But Brendan's going to be back next week to break that down for us. Just to review the Fed meeting, the Fed went off. No rate hikes, no rate cuts, just stable. That's Brendan, basically what Brendan and I told you. Wasn't really a market mover. So we kind of got in and out with that. Obviously, the administration really wants rate cuts, but they're not going to get them yet. However, the administration did announce late last night that there was going to be the first trade deal that was announced. And it came out today. It was the UK. And Brian, you had a great take on it that I actually agreed with. So as my guest, I'd love to give the floor to you to kind of break down the UK trade. I think most people thought, the talking heads that I saw, was it's going to be India, it's going to be Japan, just because those have kind of been in the news flow the most. But it was the UK, and kind of a hot take from you that I actually agreed upon. So I want to give you the floor there and kind of break down your thoughts around it.
Yeah. Back to the Fed meeting, I think we all were kind of expecting, you know, an unchanged movement there. But at the end of the day, it was hawkish, you know, not overly hawkish, but it was a little hawkish. And we did see a little bit of a peelback in the price. But this UK deal, in my opinion, was probably one of the easiest deals to get done. The UK has a big incentive to do a trade deal with the United States. And I personally thought that was going to be one of the first deals because the UK wants to partner with the United States. And they've been talking a lot for a while from a shift away from Europe. So it's interesting to see that this UK deal went down. I don't think it's, at the end of the day, a really huge deal for the United States. It's a big deal for the UK, but for the United States, it's not that big of a deal, especially for the price movement we've seen. But with that all being said, and we talked about this before the show, any sort of de-escalation, any sort of positive news, it's not we're taxing more tariffs or we're going after this country or that country, any sort of positive news, one small trade deal, and we absolutely pump. Kind of my gut feeling feels like we're pumping harder than we should just because we signed a deal with the UK. But I'm here for it. I'm ready for it. So kind of my take there at the end of the day is we're seeing a shift of global power here where the UK is partnering with North America and not Europe. And it's a big deal for the UK. And it's obviously a big deal for the United States. But this isn't like a deal with China. If we had a deal with China, that's going to go wild. But it's just any sort of positive movement is going to move us in the right direction.
Yeah, and I agree with all your points, honestly. It's like one of those things, the market just loves to climb the wall of worry, right? And so clearly sentiment, especially that Liberation Day week, was completely washed out with, we pulled it up, it was, the fear and greed index for stocks was at a 2, which goes back to COVID, which goes back to the 2008 financial crisis, which goes back to the dot-com bubble. So you can't get much more bearish on stocks coming off the low there. But the president had some remarks today in his news conference, and again, put your political feelings aside. This is the guy who is in theory the most powerful man in the world, and this is what was said at the White House today.
You better go out and buy stock now. Let me tell you, this country will be like a rocket ship that goes straight up. This is going to be numbers that nobody's ever seen before.
The first part there is you might want to go out and buy some stocks. And the last time that he said that, we all know what happened. It was basically the stop valve for the Liberation Day, you know, problems. So you might want to go out and buy some stocks. He said that before. The markets have ripped. So that's just building off of Brian's points. Maybe the momentum's overdone. You can make that. That's what makes a market, right? Is like maybe the momentum's overdone. There's probably a lot of people that are completely off sides, that are on the recession case and waiting for everything to fall off a cliff. So I think that encapsulates the market. Joe, I'll throw it to you. And then Brian, if you guys want to fill in any final thoughts, but that sets the table, right? There's momentum coming across all the markets. If anything, Bitcoin led the way down, has also led the way back up, outperforming. We covered that with Brendan the other day. Best performing asset since Election Day is Bitcoin at about 30. Well, now it'd probably be higher. So it'd be like 37-38%. Gold number 2. And then the indices at this point are about even. So that sets the scene for your markets. Obviously, we're bullish Bitcoin and you've kind of been on that train, which has been an outperformer. But any final thoughts around the macro markets, fellas, before we dive into your specialty?
Just a comment. You know, you did a good trade that was stocks related. Hood, which was kind of like an intermediary into crypto. And that bounced pretty nicely off the bottom. I've been buying stocks related to crypto. So I do hold crypto, buy crypto, and I'm buying stocks related to crypto.
Yeah, it's Brendan and I talk about the famous Hood call all the time of like, yeah, it was like $7 or $8, just past 50 today. So yeah, Brendan and I have traded that one. It's been super fun. But let's dive into your guys's momentum money makers area. And so I see we have we'll start off with a high level. So we'll go high level and then we'll keep kind of drilling down. So a high level that, you know, if this is your first time kind of listening to Brian and Joe, they kind of give us that different deep dive angle. And so this was something that we tweeted Coinbase and Riot are making Riot Games are making a partnership. And so break that down for us, because obviously that kind of goes into the user onboarding, games, NFT type stuff. You know, these users can buy and sell, and maybe there it's onboarding people to the blockchain. So when you see this type of announcement, Joe, I know you were super excited about it. What gets you excited about it overall?
Yeah, just onboarding of users into crypto overall. And this one specifically through, you know, gaming with League of Legends is huge globally. And you know, just people utilizing blockchain, and that hopefully it will spill over to all assets, all coins, and also, you know, different assets within crypto. So that's what I'm excited about, just getting more eyes on chain. And Apple, alongside this news, which is great for gaming, with Coinbase and NFTs, Apple and Fortnite won the lawsuit. Basically, Apple cannot tax NFT applications either because of what the lawsuit that happened with Fortnite and Apple. So those two things combined is just really bullish news for the gaming space overall. And gaming's Web3 gaming is where a lot of money was poured into during this bear markets. And now we're seeing big boys come in. Like, you know, there was native Web3 companies, but now we're seeing Riot Games come in, which is not a small name. League of Legends, if you don't know, they are legendary. They have million-dollar like broadcast games and championships across the globe. So just excited overall that the space is evolving and moving so quick with this pro administration. We're finally seeing companies like, hey, let's get in now because, you know, there's legal framework.
Yeah, Joe nailed it. I mean, I think there's a lot of positive news here for Web3 gaming. When Coinbase signs a multi-year deal with Riot Games and now has connections with all these major gaming and esports platforms, it's absolutely huge. And we saw some details of this partnership where they're talking about where viewers or participants are going to get digital rewards and icons, and there's going to be drops, essentially referring to NFTs of some capacity. A lot of people on the outside say, like, NFTs are dead. They're by no means dead. They're getting partnerships like this Coinbase, like this gaming, and it's going to have a completely new look to it. And Joe's a huge fan. I am too. Joe's a huge fan of like NBA Top Shot, NFL all day. Just any sort of integration here with these major partnerships is going to be huge for the entire Web3 gaming space, which I'm personally really bullish on. It's a little bit slow moving, slow grinding, because gamers need to embrace Web3 and blockchain. But this exclusive partnership between Coinbase and Riot Games is one of the biggest steps we've seen in the right direction in a long time. And they're basically saying that they're going to have, throughout this multi-year partnership, NFT drops, digital rewards, pretty much everything that we talk about. And it's going to be a huge opportunity, not just for gamers, but for investors and just participants in the crypto space overall.
I love this because, and I'm actually going to tie it back to Hood, believe it or not, because what I think blockchain Brian's laughing at me. What I think blockchain and this type of partnership is doing is it's like, hey, we have large user bases that are interested in a multitude of things, and we're trying to bring that together. Because I'm sure there's a ton of League of Legends people, because that's tech focused people that are also into Bitcoin, that are also into crypto, so they're more likely to adopt it. And so you're trying to give them platforms to cross pollinate, as well as bringing on those new users as well that might not be into it. And the reason why I'm tying this back to Hood is because I think that's what their vision of like democratizing finance is when they're bringing on these people, the younger generation. Like, all of Hood's profits is crypto trading and options. So high leverage plays. And now they got the contract they just won in the courts for the what do you call that? Like the, it's not gambling, but it's Kalashi and the contracts, like the betting contracts of odds for whether it's rate cuts. Now they're doing the NBA playoffs. They did the presidential election. And so I think like they're giving so many options to people on their platform. You don't have to do it all, but you can if you want. And so I think that's the kind of the same thought process with blockchain is like, you should be able to do a number of things on blockchain. It should be gaming. It should be investing. It's gambling. Like, we all know all that stuff is out there. So the companies that can tie it together and have all the options on their platform are going to win. That's why I tied it back to Hood, because I think your Vanguards and your Morgan Stanleys and all these, they always used to kind of be like, no, investing is for us. We're the gatekeepers. You come to us, you put in your money, we'll take care of it, and we'll let you know how it does. And I don't, again, maybe I'm speaking for myself, like I'm not really into that. I want to be a part of it. I want options. I want to be in the mix. And so I think that's what blockchain is doing and on a variety of different levels. So excited to see how that partnership continues and grows. And, you know, I know Brendan's really into gaming too, so we're going to keep tabs on it for you guys and keep updating you. But, oh, excuse me. Did you guys hear that? Fartcoin.
Yes.
Fellas, this was a momentum moneymaker's call. You guys have been talking about Fartcoin for months, like almost since inception, almost in my mind. So Brian, just give us the rundown, because I can't do it justice for what you guys, you know, the research that you guys do in the trenches, pulling the call, sticking with it, buying the dips. So just give Crypto 101 the journey of Fartcoin for you, and just talk us all the way through to where we are today.
Yeah, Fartcoin's pretty much the leading indicator of the entire global market in my eyes at this point. If it's going up, the entire market's going up. When we start to see a little bit of a correction, usually Fartcoin was ahead of it. I joke with Joe, Fartcoin feels like the leading indicator in the entire space, but every single week, every single day we look at it, it's been doing that. So a little background of exactly what Fartcoin is. It's not only a meme coin in a ridiculous name in one side, but it also has a connection to as an AI coin, believe it or not. There was an AI developer named Andy Array. He gave an AI agent control of a Twitter profile, Terminal of Truth, wanted to create a meme coin, just went on this rant how it would create Fartcoin because it would go viral, yada, yada, yada. Someone creates Fartcoin and it's off to the races. And that's really when Joe and I, because we're deep into not only meme coins, into the AI crypto sector, in any emerging market. I remember the day it was released and Joe and I were like, this has legs. Is like, it's almost embarrassing to talk about, but there's just something about it when you talk to an individual who's looking for like the next Bitcoin, or where they want the next mover, or I'm telling them about Solana. I'm like, it's this great layer one, or, you know, or this great layer two blockchain. It goes right over their head. But if I'm like, hey, there's this coin, Fartcoin, created by this AI agent or suggested by an AI agent, and they're like, wait a minute, what is it? Fartcoin? They're like, where can I buy it? The reaction is unbelievable every time we see it. So I can understand why it has mass appeal. And it is now one of the leading meme coins out there. Dogecoin still holds the king of like a $26 billion market cap. But my personal opinion, I think Fartcoin could really become one of the biggest winners in the entire space in a bull run. And for a lot of different reasons, with its connection with how it was the inception to the story it has, it's had some severe corrections as well. And Joe and I have made some calls in our community. I think it was $200-300 million market cap when it was all the way up to $2 billion, it corrected down to the hundreds of million. And we were like, it still looks strong for a lot of reasons. And since then it's passed. What are we at? Like $1.16 billion with a B market cap. So that's a little bit of the story behind Fartcoin. It's there's not a lot of utility baked into it, but it's a runner, and I think it can run very, very high this cycle.
Nothing to add there. Awesome.
Yeah, we had Renick Paley of Stratos on the summit, as well as a full episode on the podcast. So I'm sure a lot of people listen to that, and that was his call. And we met him about a year ago exactly. And when we first met him, he was Dog with Hat. So he was very early. His firm was like very early with Dog with Hat, and they have their own, you know, way of evaluating it. And he was telling us the story of how they got in on it, and then, you know, he traded it really well. And then, you know, he came back and was explaining like the Fartcoin play, and he was in early, and then it was buying the crap out of the recent dip, basically for the same reasons that you said. It's like, dude, it's a no brainer. Like everybody farting's funny, like everybody farts. And then kind of to your point is like, yeah, Doge is the OG meme coin, but you know, I guess a thought process around that space is how many animals can you do? How many different types of animals with hats or with jackets or whatever it's going to be? You know, Fartcoin's kind of original, right? So you guys have been on that again. Brian and Joe have called that like super early. And so just to plug them again, the Momentum Moneymakers, I'm going to put the link to their podcast in the show notes. It's going to be the first link for you guys there. Click over there, stay up to date with them, take a look at their community. They're awesome to get more calls like that. And Joe, now over to you. One that you talk about a lot is Pudgy Penguins, Pengu. So I know that you love the community. I know you love the team around it. And then from my perspective of just a kind of that average, you know, meme coin retail trader, I noticed that Pengu was listed by Robinhood basically right before Liberation Day. And I was like, oh, I've always heard Joe talk about this one. He loved it. And so I was like, I'm going to keep track of this. And I obviously everything tanked. And I think the Pengu token was down like 70%, 70, 80%. And I was like, all right, I'm going to take a flyer on this because my guy Joe loves it. And sure enough, I mean, what a rally off the bottom there. So break down Pengu for the people.
Yeah, those who don't know Pengu is a meme coin from the NFT community, Pudgy Penguins. Pudgy Penguins has been around, you know, 4 or 5 years now, and they've done really, really big collaborations still today with Walmart, Target, Amazon, and they just don't stop. They're just, every single week, they're doing something. And it's not even small. It's like huge things. They're teaming up with major brands all around the globe. And they launch YouTube TV series. They're launching royalties for the NFT holders, lifetime royalties if they pick your NFT to put inside a Walmart store. Like just little things like that. They're at Capitol Hill. They're lobbying for a Pengu meme coin ETF. I'm sorry. And an NFT ETF. It's like the first of its kind. And they have backing by venture funds like Canary Capital, who runs like multi-billion dollars, backing them for these funds. So every single week, they're just doing stuff and collaborations. They just launched a blockchain. So like they went from an NFT company to launching a meme coin. Then they're launching a blockchain that integrates this meme coin better than any other meme coin or even, dare I say, crypto. Like it's woven through their ecosystem masterfully where you can, it's a consumer facing blockchain called Abstract, right? And the reason it ties in with this meme coin Pengu is because it's kind of powered with Pengu. You can tip the streamers with a meme coin and they reward you with a meme coin. And of course the blockchain has its own native coin also that's coming out. But part of the reason that Pengu is a long-term play, so the short-term bump is no surprise here. We talked about how, you know, after Liberation Day, we're looking at everything at around 90% drawdown. Pengu reached, you know, close to that level alongside everything else. But now it's back to almost half of where it was before Liberation Day. So it's super exciting to see that we caught this at the bottom many times. We're like, hey, we love this one. And it's ticked up 250% since then. But this is one of those... And I don't want you to pour your life savings in here, TiVo, but I'm looking for this to be in competition with Doge. And the reason I say that is because that's the founder's mission. His name is Luca Netz. He's like he's like the face of NFTs, if you can believe that, at like Pudgy Penguins is. And he is very, very focused on this being as big, if not bigger, than Doge. Like that's like his North Star right now. So I'm really excited for this token long term.
That's a great point. Nothing we do say here is ever personal financial advice. Just a couple friends talking crypto here. But I appreciate that, Joe. I will not be going all in, but I agree with your points. Love the project. Because again, I'm the most like average retail, know what it is, NFT, meme coin stuff, not really deep diving into it. That's what I turned to you guys for. But I remember when the NFT craze was going on, you know, the Top Shot era and the Bored Apes was going crazy and Pudgy Penguins was up there. I always thought like, Bored Apes was that like too cool for school like club, and I always thought the Pudgy Penguins were cute, and I was like, ah man, these are cute and fun and just kind of like inviting. And then to kind of learn from you guys about how they love the community or building it, I was like, I've always had a good feeling about the Pudgy Penguins, so I'm excited to be in Pengu, and we ride for our penguins. We love it. So let's move it on. We're on the back half of the show here. I'm going to hand it off to you guys. So I asked you guys to bring a couple topics up until this point. I kind of teed us up and brought us down, but I'm going to hand it off to you guys and let you go back and forth. And I'm going to be taking notes and maybe ask some questions, but I'm going to toss it to you guys for ETH's pumping. Brian, you said it. ETH is outperforming, and that's going to bring along with ETH memes and L2s and L3s. So what are you seeing there with the outperformance?
Yeah, I mean, it's just a little surprising because ETH is outperforming. We've seen that lag behind Bitcoin and a lot of the macros for quite some time. So to see ETH outperforming makes me excited. And there's less. So when we talk about meme coins, there's a few different chains: Base, Solana, Ethereum mainnet, some other ones out there where you can buy meme coins to get exposure. It does feel like on mainnet, due to gas fees and everything along those lines, there's less like mud in the water. It's less like junk out there. There's some clear winners. There's Dogecoin, SHIB, Pepe, Mog, SPX. And there's some clear winners there. And I was like, man, I've always been pretty bullish on a lot of those meme coins because those communities are like absolute cults. They've gone through, like, let's take Mog, for instance. They've gone through so much pain. It's unbelievable, but their holder count stays high and any sort of positive movement in the market, it absolutely rockets up. And I just want to give an example. I think Mogcoin's up 50% on the week. And that's a leading ETH meme coin, something we talk about within our community a lot, something we've given calls out in the past. So whenever we see big movements in ETH, we see even bigger moves in these meme coins. And this is not financial advice for anyone. This is really me talking off the cuff. But I'm getting to a position right now in the market. Maybe I'm getting too bulled up, boys, where I would rather hold, and this wasn't always like this, but I would rather hold some of these meme coins than the actual L1. I would rather hold Pepe right now than ETH. And just because of how, so when ETH pumps, Pepe pumps even harder. And that kind of goes the same for Solana. I have a ton of Solana. I love Solana. And I'm not going to sell that out. But part of me would rather hold Fartcoin and Pengu than Solana exposure. Because I think when we see these major moves, we sign a tariff deal with China and we're up 70% across the market. We could be up 200% in some of these meme coins. So the cream's definitely rising to the top. And that's what we do every day. Joe and I are always talking about it. That these new daily run, there was a time period there in January where daily runners, like there would be a launch, somebody would tweet it out and it would go to $100 million. So it was ridiculous and you had to buy in and sell out quickly. It almost caused me a lot of anxiety, but there was opportunity. So I was in the trenches with everyone.
That was the last time you guys were on the show, was when me and you were texting at 2 or 3 in the morning for, you know, my old boss, Dave Portnoy drops and figuring out when to get out of jail stool. I mean, jail stool was the top for local top for that mini cycle for sure.
That was a local top for sure. And in retrospect, it didn't feel like that, but in retrospect, it definitely was. But we're starting to see a washout here. And Ethereum performing as well as it is, I think we're over like 2K or something along those lines.
Yeah.
And then when you look at like the Pepes and the Mogs or some of these leading meme coins, I'm like, man, the community's there. It's going to still run. Again, not financial advice because a big correction, it goes the other hand. A big correction in some of these macros, the memes get hit even harder. But I'm starting to get bulled up, boys. I'm excited. I think this could be another run in the meme coin market. Not sure how it's going to look. But personally, I want to have exposure to some of the bigger name meme coins that have been tested through time, have communities there no matter what. And a few of those are like Fartcoin, Pengu, Mog, Pepe. The list could go on. But, I'm just excited to be here and living through it. And it's great.
Yeah. And again, anybody that is kind of listening to this, and obviously, you know, Brendan and Bryce in the community, the Crypt Nation community that we always, advertise you guys. If you want more extra, the links are below for that. But if this deep dive into the meme coin world is something that you're interested in, again, Momentum Moneymakers is also linked their podcast. So go over there, listen to some more shows, get some education, and then they have links on their show if you're interested in checking out their community as well. But Joe, you brought a couple links for us for the... the wreck drink meme coin pump. Let's pull those up and break it down for the people.
Yeah, the reason I brought this up was to Brian's point. Sometimes you rather hold, risk assets versus like the L1s like Bitcoin, Ethereum. And the reason being is so you can catch, gains like this, right? So wrecked, we call it exactly at the bottom. We caught it twice. Brian caught it, then I caught it again. It's up 300%. Now, you're not going to get 300% gains on Bitcoin. You're not going to get 300% gains on Ethereum. Maybe in 5 years, But if you want some short-term gain, then there's definitely places to look at. And we've been through this cycle many times where immediately when Liberation Day came, at least for myself, I rotated everything back into Bitcoin while everything was dumping 90% and then waiting for the right ones to get into. And then we caught these out because we knew that certain ones that were down 90%, like the Pengus, like Wrecked, are going to come back up because nothing's changed fundamentally. And more specific to these ones, Pengu and Wrecked, they have a meme culture yet utility, you know, function to it, which is why, like, it's a hybrid asset, if you believe it or not. And it's a fun side of crypto, I would like to say. Like, Wrecked is an actual company that sells Wrecked drinks. It's an energy drink, and I'm not telling you to go buy it, but they sold out in 40 minutes globally. I don't know how many units they sold, Brian, but I couldn't get one. Brian got one, and this was through the Pudgy Penguin blockchain that just launched. So we knew that this was going to sell out immediately, and we knew that this was going to pump the token immediately because what happened with this right before this time frame was that they announced, like, hey, we partner with Abstract, which is a Pudgy Penguin's ecosystem. And we knew that historically throughout this last few weeks, this last 6 weeks, Liberation Day, anyone who's onboarded with them, there's some crazy metric where 100,000 wallets were instantaneously onboarded to whoever they partner with. So we knew that pump was happening, and Wreck was just primed for that. So there's plays like these all over every single day. And don't hold us to that. People are asking us too, right? Brian, our community, they're like, please give us more calls, because they're just like, they're like, what's the next one? And we're like, hey, we see a lot, but we can't give you winners every single day. You know, we'll be on a yacht by now. But it's just exciting to see kind of all assets return.
You don't have a yacht? I have the kids washing mine in the backyard right now to bring it out. I want to jump on the Wreck Guy thing as well. Wreck Drinks is such a unique coin, and we did call. I remember calling it at like $12 million market cap, and I was like, this looks juicy. The founder, OSF or OV, is a great founder. He's not going to rug the community, really trying to build a brand. It started off as an NFT project called Wrecked Guy. And if you held the Wrecked Guy, he was always teasing Wrecked brands. They have an AI, but you actually got equity within the Wrecked brands company if you held the NFT. So equity there. So if you held the NFT and came true in this Wrecked drink, it's called Abstract Apple. There's a few different flavors, but Abstract for the blockchain, Abstract Apple. Joe, I think it was like 200 and some thousand cases, and it was not cheap. I bought one case, and it was $75 for 24 of them. I mean, $3 a can is not terrible, but still a lot of people piled in there in 20, 30 minutes and bought out $75 cases of this Wrecked drink, and equity goes back to the NFT holders at the end of the day. It's kind of what we always dreamed up NFTs would be a gateway to something bigger brands. And Pengu nailed it. Wrecked Guy, in my opinion, is right there. And there's a few others that I'm big fans of, but I thought that drink yesterday was going to take two to six hours to sell out if they sold out. I logged in a few minutes in, and I was like, oh my gosh. And I just bought one and just forgot about it. But then I saw everyone. It's like, we sold out in 30 minutes. So really amazing to see an NFT company, a founder with a vision, push that into not only a successful coin, into a successful Web2 brand with huge partnerships in Web3. It's just awesome.
That's awesome, boys. We're pushing up on time. 40 minutes in. And I really appreciate you guys coming on. I know that this definitely won't be the last time. Hopefully this momentum continues, because whenever that happens, you guys are the ones to bring on to break down the trenches, which we just did for a solid 40 minutes. So, Brian, Joe, I really appreciate you guys coming. For everybody listening, there's stuff that we talked about. We shared screens. Make sure you check us out on YouTube so you get a good look at it. That link's always in the description. Give us a thumbs up on YouTube. Subscribe. If you're on the podcast audio, Spotify, Apple, 5 stars, leave us a review. We love hearing from you guys, and it helps us keep doing this stuff for free, being on great guests. This is TiVo, your host for the day. It's been fun, and we're going to be back next week to break down, hopefully, the continued momentum. But whatever happens, we're going to be here giving it to you at the Crypto 101 podcast. Thanks for listening, and have a good rest of your day.